Good morning. I'm blessed to be your guest preacher this morning. The talk is about transitions, health risks, and rewards. I've been working on the pandemic nonstop for weeks, so I will talk about the transition from social isolation to reentry into society, into workplaces, stores, restaurants, and into church. For weeks, we've been warned to stay home, avoid other people, because even if they look healthy, they may be carriers of a dread coronavirus. Others may infect us with a deadly disease. Thousands have already died. We were told, stay home. But now, at last, we will go back to work, back to St. Anne's, with lots of other people. Our leaders, political leaders, and public health officials give contradictory messages. Who do you trust? Today, I'll talk about two transitions, the one facing us today, and then the one facing the apostles 2,000 years ago. It's quite a stretch, but they have something in common, both of these transitions, uncertainty. Who do you trust? In my first career, I didn't trust anyone. I was a news reporter, and I reported on the investigations into the Kennedy assassinations, the Nixon Watergate trials, the Vietnam War. I saw combat in the Mideast. I covered the Three Mile Island nuclear meltdown. My first managing editor told me to always check it out. He said, quote, "If your mother says she loves you, check it out." Fortunately, I saw proof at my mother's 100th birthday anniversary, birthday party in North Carolina several weeks ago. So that was good news in a world that's filled with bad news. In my second career as a lawyer, I learned not to trust anyone, including my own clients, to tell me the full truth. I consulted on a half dozen chemical plant explosions, the space shuttle disasters, the Concorde crash, mad cow disease, several pharmaceutical products that had to be recalled, SUV rollovers, the Valdez oil spill, and the worst one, being on a conference call with airline executives, trying to figure out where the airplanes were during the 9/11 crashes in New York and Washington. Check it out is good advice now in dealing with the coronavirus. I'm concerned about the psychological challenges of going back to work, going back to church, going back to shopping centers, mixing with people while the disease is still spreading and killing people. Dealing with risk and uncertainty can be very stressful. The COVID-19 experience has been so difficult. Look at the groups most affected by the disease. The elderly, Hispanic workers, poor people, African Americans, Native Americans. The worst outbreaks have been in nursing homes, meatpacking plants, and prisons. Imagine if you are one of those who has lost a loved one to the coronavirus. If the patient was in a hospital or nursing home, you could not visit. You could not be with your loved one as she or he died. No one was there to hold hands, to pray, to say goodbye. Grieving is difficult. Funerals are postponed. The body may be somewhere in a refrigerated truck. When talking to someone who has lost a loved one to the virus, it's easy to slip, to say something that triggers a traumatic memory. Inadvertent triggers can hurt. There's an epidemic of suicides in this country. There are a high number of suicides in law enforcement, first responders, fire and ambulance crews, and with veterans. First, do no harm is not just for doctors, but for everyone who deals with those who are infected or affected by the coronavirus. Knowing what to say and what not to say can have life or death impact on others. Even if your family is healthy, your bank account might not be healthy. People who are out of work and have no emergency savings are in distress. Many small businesses will fold if they can't get back to full-time business. Right now, there's not enough testing for people who may carry the disease. One testing program turns out to be erroneous half the time. There's no program of contact tracing that's been approved. The proposal for digital contact tracing looks an awful lot like surveillance. What about personal privacy? The detailed CDC guidance has been kept under wraps. Now, for the last 20 years, I've been volunteering in prisons and reentry programs to help inmates when they're released. In a curious way, reentry after prison can be similar to reintegration into society after this sort of lockdown. People who are released back into society often feel adrift. They succumb to some bad habits like alcohol abuse and drug addiction. Right now, deaths from opioid overdoses are higher than in previous months. I'm not only concerned about the coronavirus, but about the opioid pandemic that has killed hundreds of thousands of people over many years. We need to avoid going back to the bad habits of alcoholism and drug addiction. One of the most important things that will help with transitions is spiritual strength. I was part of a panel for a webinar called Beyond Isolation, Returning to an Undistanced Workplace During COVID-19. Send me an email and I'll send you the link, fordrowan@gmail.com. That's fordrowan, one word, at gmail.com. It's full of secular advice. The spiritual aspects are only briefly mentioned, but religion can play an important role in helping folks through the transition from isolation to reintegration. Here's where the experience of the apostles 2,000 years ago can help. They were faced with the question, who do you trust? I identify with St. Thomas. He's my kind of guy. Now, I'm a super skeptic. I can hear him now. When the other apostles say they've been visited by the risen Lord, Thomas is skeptical. Thomas said, until I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger to the mark of the nails and my hand to his side, I will not believe. Thomas is a check-it-out guy. A week later, the disciples are still hiding, fearing they will be executed like Jesus, hiding in the upper room, and Thomas is with them. Jesus suddenly appears and tells Thomas to touch him in his wounds. Thomas does so and says, my Lord and my God. The reason that I find this eyewitness testimony believable is not just because it's in the Bible. It's because of what happened next. Thomas goes off to India, preaching about the risen Lord. He starts a church in India that still exists to this day. He gets in trouble with the powers that be and is killed. In effect, he signed his eyewitness testimony with his own blood. The same thing happens with some of the other apostles. They act on what they believe. They spread the good news throughout the world. Do you think they would be activated like that if the resurrection was a hoax, or a dream, or a fantasy? I like the proof, and there's more. Several years ago, my wife and I were on a trip organized by two seminaries, St. Mary's Catholic Seminary in Baltimore and Wesley's Methodist Seminary in D.C. We went to Italy to look at more churches than I'd ever seen at any one time. Rome was terrific. But the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel was disappointing because it was crammed with people who were all talking at once and guards who kept yelling, silencio, silencio. It was not spiritually uplifting. But we took a side trip to a place called Mamertine, which is the oldest prison in Rome, near the Forum. Now, I've been in 10 American prisons in 5 states, but Mamertine is the absolute worst prison I've ever seen. It's underground, with a hole in the ceiling, where prisoners were transported by rope, dropped down to be tortured, taken out to be executed. There was a big hole in the floor for prisoners to use to relieve themselves. One big giant room with cells even below it. An account from 50 BC, 50 years before Christ, described this prison as filth and darkness and mentioned that the smell is terrible. This is where the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul ended up. Do you think they would have risked this for a hoax, for a fantasy? They had seen the risen Lord. He energized them to spread the good news, to tell the truth. What's their message? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Take care of each other. God loves you and will take care of you. Be kind. Do good works. COVID-19 offers us similar opportunity to help others. I know a woman who has sewed hundreds of masks and given them away. More than 400 masks given to the Franciscan Center in Baltimore and the Lighthouse Shelter here and other charities, all given for free. Hundreds of masks. She asked me not to say her name, but the story is true. Crises bring out the worst and the best in people. The corona crisis cries out for good deeds and volunteer service. I pray that the Lord will help us to check it out. Amen.